This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
It was really a bad time to kind of be away. Just everything that went on, power outages, trees down, bad, you know, just bad weather.
Yeah.
All around.
Well, when the Godfather maybe Fort Smith is gone.
Maybe it was a good time to be gone. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly been pretty, here in the River Valley, it's certainly been a crazy weather for the past couple of weeks, and it's just, it's devastating. This flooding is devastating. This is sad stuff.
This is catastrophic, and, you know, we're going to discuss it throughout the morning, because it affects really everyone listening. I know in Northwest Arkansas, the Arkansas River really doesn't, run through the, Benton and Washington County areas, but eventually the water has nowhere to go.
Yes.
And these lakes are going to back up. So eventually it's going to have a domino effect that affects everyone, even those in north central Arkansas. But you think about from the western border, and we got listeners, of course, in Oklahoma who's got extreme catastrophic historic flooding as well this morning. But you follow that Arkansas River from Fort Smith, where it comes across the state line in Fort Smith, and then works its way through our state and a lot of our great towns that are underneath the Morning Rush listing area, as it winds through the River Valley, through Fort Smith, and kind of down I-40, not really,
no.
But makes its way towards Dardanelle and Russellville, and then Morrilton, and you just keep going, Little Rock. I mean, this is going to be catastrophic flooding that affects so many Arkansans all the way till it exits the state and into the Delta and dumps into a Mississippi River that's been out of its banks for months now. And I just seeing the pictures and seeing these videos and watching the news, it just breaks your heart that people are having to leave their homes and gather up what they can. And the power of water is awesome, and it's on full display right now.
Yeah, and like me and you talked on the phone last night about it, because obviously you this is where you're from, this area, and I'm new to this area, but it was one of those things that when I was hearing about it and seeing it coming, I just didn't think it was ever going to be a likely thing that, the river would start flooding out homes and flooding out the River Valley area. It just didn't seem like something that would just pop in your mind and be a likely thing, but yet here we are.
We've seen floods over the years, over my lifetime. We've seen, I've seen several floods that have been noteworthy or historic at its time. I've never seen anything close to this. This morning we're sitting here talking to you, and the 59 Highway Bridge, just 2 miles from where we're sitting in Barling, where if you've seen the video, there's been basically every network news outfit in the country has been here doing the national news from Barling, Arkansas, Fort Smith, Arkansas, where they had to air evac or rescue some of the Corps of Engineer workers that were at Lock and Dam 13, which is located in Barling, which is not, that Lock and Dam facility is not far from where we sit. That is the only bridge that gives you entry across the river into Fort Smith right now. I have never seen in my life the bridges into this city closed. But I went to Eagle Crest and got to play golf yesterday morning, and I could see the water was coming up near the shoulders. I said, it's only a matter of time between Kelly Highway and the bridge on the very north side of Fort Smith. It's just a matter of time that this roadway is going to be closed. And here, it's going to be 4, 5, 6 days. It's going to be into early next week before that remedy is to the water recedes. If there's anything for that. And if the 59 Highway Bridge at Barling, which is going to have to carry all the traffic and is going to run right in front of our Morning Rush studios, it's already backed up this morning. It's just going to be a mess.
Yeah.
So everyone listening this morning trying to get to and from work, if that bridge gets closed down Fort Smith's essentially on an island at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to take some real big back roads, kind of go. I think we were talking about it, Tom. Go to Russellville, well, kind of through.
Thinking that over, I forget you could cross over Morrison Bluff, essentially south of Clarksville, Scranton.
Yeah,
that area, and get back over. But it's got flooding, and it's not the bridges that are the problem. It's the roadways leading to the bridges that are the problem. So yeah, I mean, this is, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I'm not. I know y'all think I'm old, but I mean, I'm 43. I guarantee you there are people, I really wish my dad and my grandpa were here to ask them. I guarantee they've never seen anything like this.
No.
Ever. In the River Valley. So this is, but the roadways and the closing of bridges, all that's a major inconvenience. But the real sad thing is watching people's homes have feet of water in them.
Yeah, because
I don't have any property that I've got problems with or anything like that. I just feel bad for people that I know that are having to deal with that.
Yeah, because you talk about water being the awesome force. I mean, when something like that happens and flooding comes in at the way it's coming, it's like, what can you do? I mean, it's not like anything you can do to stop it. It's going to happen.
You know, the one thing that's been just awesome to watch from afar, and then I got to watch it very up close yesterday as well for a few hours, is just the response from your neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Your response. You know, Arkansas gets a bad rap nationally. Fort Smith gets a bad rap around this state for whatever reason. I'm telling you, the good-hearted nature of the people of the River Valley has just been on full display for days now. You know, people that have, nothing that they're going to lose, no property or homes at risk, stopping what they're doing to go fill sandbags or to haul sandbags on their trailer or to do whatever they can to help strangers. It's just been awesome to watch people love on their neighbor the way they have. It really has been a great showing you once again that, you know, you watch the national news and you watch all these sleazebag politicians up there, a lot of times the way they behave and carry on, they want you to believe our country really is divided and everybody hates each other. And then something like this happens and you realize, you know, that's not really what our country is.
Yeah.
Really isn't at all.
I mean, it's sad because you never want to see any type of disasters happen, but no. It's amazing the disasters and the type of positivity that can come from it. And it shows just how human we all are, and the human element is by caring for one another.
Yep. So. And when the chips are down and there's problems like what we have, we all back each other.
That's right.
So what we do as Arkansans. Because, I mean, I think about things like the tornadoes that went through Valonia. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, there's been other weather catastrophes around our state. And this is going to be probably the largest on dollar scale, not on loss of life, but on property damage. This is going to be probably the biggest loss of property we have ever seen in our state, because this is going to go from one end of the state. It's just going to work its way right down the entire state along the river. And it's not just the river. It's the tributaries and the drainage ditches and all these things that have nowhere to go that are now backing up into people's homes. You don't have to live right on the river to have a flooding issue as a result of this. It's going to be a problem in towns like Fort Smith, Van Buren, Russellville, Dardanelle, Morrilton. You know, just keep wherever the river's at, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's nowhere for the water to go, eventually the White River, the Norfolk River, all of these places that work its way up into other parts of our state, in a few weeks' time, that's going to be an issue. Because, John, that water's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And now we're getting more rain today and tomorrow, they're talking. I'm telling you, this is a serious, serious deal. And if you don't have respect for the power of a river and the awesome power of water, this event right here should teach all of us how awesome the power of a river can be.
Yeah, can't stop Mother Nature when she does her thing, man. It is incredible to see just how, like you said, just how a force like water can do this.
I'm hoping our man Officer Breeden has time to get by.
I would imagine too.
If he's on duty this morning, he's probably just swamped. So
pretty busy.
Maybe he can call. I doubt he has time to swing by the studio today. Because, I mean, there's like, traffic's probably not tripled or quadrupled. It's probably, what's beyond that? When you've quadrupled, then what's the next thing?
I just know quintuplet, and I don't know. But yes, five times is what it kind of goes to by that time.
Traffic through the city of Barling going into Fort Smith is probably five times what it is on a normal Tuesday morning right now. So but he was on the national news as the helicopters had to come in and rescue workers from the Lock and Dam 13. And just the pictures of that were, I mean, awesome's probably a good description. Awesome in a way that just wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible video, especially. And then seeing Officer Breen, I was really disappointed because I thought his first name was Officer, not James. So I was kind of weird seeing that James Breen.
He may have an agent by now. He may not be able to get by here. We're going to talk about this throughout the morning because I think that's what a lot of y'all are talking about. And of course, we're going to get to Arkansas's baseball regional.
And there's a ton
of
stuff.
Jimmy Witt is now a Razorback again. A lot of stuff that is on the docket, but you know, a lot of you are hurting out there.
That's right.
And we'll try to be a little bit of a safe haven. You can go and think about something other than, you know, for some of you out there, just the disaster that's coming, you know, the disaster that's unfolding in front of your very eyes for those that live along the river. If it's not affecting you, it's affecting someone you know or someone you work with. It's just, you don't have to go very far in your life to figure out somebody this flood somewhere is affecting.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And our thoughts and prayers are out to all of you who are being impacted by this flooding. And throughout the show, we're going to not only talk about it, but to if there's ways that you can get involved and helping out with people, we're also going to bring that up, too. I mean, we're gonna get into a lot of things to try to help out people as much as possible as we can, especially here in the River Valley.
And people have been for days.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be more with, I'm you know, certain, and we'll get more details, you know, with United Way and places you can donate, but the one thing I've been impressed with is people donating their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's more valuable than
I've been watching
things.
I've been out of town, but I've been watching it on Facebook. People donating for days at Community Bible, where I go to church, filling sandbags for several days. I went over to the Boys Club and was there for a few hours yesterday. There have been people doing this for days, helping fill these sandbags. And I'm telling you, there was probably 150 to 200 people that just showed up and were helping fill sandbags yesterday. And the city of Fort Smith has the city, for all the problems and issues that people have with the city at times, they have been awesome through this deal. And they kept bringing sand and people kept showing up. And there were bags and there were shovels and there were people ready to work yesterday. And I was there about 3 or 4 hours, something like that. And our buddy Scott over at Calico and his wife Sheila and Fred, and there's some other, and just a ton of people. And just, you know, there have been people doing that for days. You know, it's just been really cool to see the people give of their time to help each other. Yeah. Sometimes writing a check isn't the right answer. It's getting out and doing something.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Talking about Razorback baseball and the fact that they do get the regional. They're the 5 seed. They'll be taking on the vaunted team of Central Connecticut State, which, you know, I saw somebody make the joke. He's like, how do you have a Central Connecticut State when Connecticut's such a small state that pretty much the entire state is Central Connecticut State? Yeah. So, but either way, they'll be facing off against them. And, of course, the 2 seed and the 3 seed in that matchup is Cal versus TCU. So we're getting all your reactions, 877-377-6963.
Also been talking about the flooding this morning, so we'll continue to keep our thoughts on that and also the conversation on that, too, throughout the morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go to the phone lines. Robbie is in Jacksonville. What's going on, Robbie?
Hey, what's going on, boys? And notice Ty's a little quieter now as the boss is back.
Oh, has he been chirping? Was he chirping while I was gone?
Oh, he was chirping, baby. He was chirping, Tony. It's like, yeah, I'm in the seat now. Tommy's gone. I'm in the seat.
Oh.
I am the man now.
Oh.
Not his plan.
Well.
It was fun. It was entertaining watching Ty is gone. They were just
Was he bowing his chest out a little bit?
Man, they had the best music ever playing while you were gone, though. I'll tell you, you know, the beer flowing music was nice.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. Hey, so I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day, and, you know, my heart goes out to all the flooding happening there. I mean, that could happen anywhere, and, you know, I just hope that folks get the relief they need. And I'll hang on the line and you know, provide some information if you guys will take it down when we're done.
Sure.
Hey, so I want to call in. I want to say I think we got a great draw. And the reason why I say that is arguably TCU, by a lot of accounts, may have been the last team in from an at-large perspective. A lot of folks are just, like, shocked that they made it in. And then we get Ole Miss possibly on the other side. And, you know, really when you look at it, I mean, I think that we have a little bit better ball club than them in terms of, you know, being able to match up three game set. If we play our cards right, I think we have the path to Omaha, and now it's all about going and executing. So I really like the way things set up, regardless of anything else, the way that we kind of finished. I think that if we can get a good outing from our number two in the regional to build some confidence for a super regional, then I think that it's going to bode well for us going forward. A side note, with Jimmy Witt coming back to Arkansas, I think that's a horrendous move. A guy who can't shoot, what, 20% from three-point line, a clip over 50% from free throw line. I mean, really, we need retreads like that coming back to Arkansas? I don't think so. And all it's going to do is create angst in the fan base. And, you know, I think that's where the AD should have came in and probably, like, you know, throat-chopped that one and said, not doing that.
I don't think that should be the first move the AD makes with the new coaches, putting the axe on somebody who wants on his roster.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. That just seemed like a really bad move. Well, a bad move overall.
Robbie, the question is, who is leaving that's been on the roster? Because now you're like, are you one or two over? I've lost count.
I think you're two over.
Two over,
I think
okay.
We're two over right now. I mean, you think Holmes' scholarship will get retracted. I mean, I think that was a good nature thing. But then someone else is transferring that hasn't declared yet, or, you know, it's kind of a behind the scenes, or they're leaving, but no one knows yet.
And
who
I don't know.
That first?
I can tell you
Khalil Garland.
Khalil Garland's. Yeah. Scholarship is going to count back, so that may be. I don't know how that factors into the math, but I've been told in pretty close source that Khalil Garland's situation is not going to change, and it looks like sooner rather than later they're probably going to just keep him on academic scholarship, him part of the team, but he's not going to count towards the 13 scholarship.
Yeah, I think I do right by the young man. I
mean, they will.
Situation is, that's a side note. I mean, it's unfortunate, the whole deal, but you want to make sure the kid gets a chance to at least go to college and get it paid for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll talk about that a lot more for you as well, Robbie.
All right, boys, have a good one.
Yeah, always appreciate you calling in, man. Appreciate your takes on everything, that's for sure. Let's go back to the phone lines. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, Robbie. What's
good morning, guys. Are they still bringing in people? I mean, there's transfer seems like every other day. Like you said, you're over the limit now, and I don't know. I didn't even know he was trying to bring Jimmy Witt in. That surprised me.
What did Nolan always say? Nolan, these things have a way of working themselves out or whatever.
So. I didn't even know he was still – I didn't even know where Jimmy Witt was at. I had no idea. But the Hogs, boy, they really – they got themselves in a funk the last few weeks as far as hitting the baseball. Pitching was really – not that bad, but, man, they just couldn't buy a hit. And I know they're coming home and everything, but that's a bad trend, and they need to work themselves out of that. Are they matched up against Georgia if they win this first region?
No, they're matched up against the Ole Miss if they end up winning, assuming that Ole Miss wins their regional. Yes. So if Ole Miss wins their regional and Arkansas has to face them, you could potentially see them playing. I believe that would make it eight games on the year.
And then they would
play an Ole Miss. I was hoping we'd get some people that we hadn't been playing every week. You know, you get tired of playing the same teams. And it's good to see somebody different. I'm glad this region, we got some new teams. But I didn't know who they'd be matched up against. But Bill Buckner died yesterday. And
yes.
He was such a great hitter. I just hated that even, at his death, all they want to talk about is a stupid error. You know, I just can't believe people want to be, one stupid error. He shouldn't even been out there. He's on a bad leg, and he was a great player. He never struck out three times in a game. I just can't hardly believe that. You know, today, baseball players, they'll strike out three times a week. You know, he never struck out in 22 years three times in a game.
Yeah, I heard earlier that he didn't have 40 in a season.
That's crazy.
That's just unbelievable. And like I said, that's stuff like that, like Bartman, you know, they blame him because they booted a ball and they had a chance to win that game. This was game six, and then they blew a three-run lead in game seven of the World Series. This, you know, they had chances to win. It's just everybody wants a scapegoat, you know, and that's what he's remembered for, even though he was a great player. And even on his death, that's all they want to talk about. But, gentlemen, go Hogs, and you have a good day.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, as always, Danny. Yeah, that's something we didn't even have a chance to bring up yet because of all the headlines. Right. But, yeah, the fact that Bill Buckner and his passing.
When I heard that news yesterday, I was with some buddies of mine, and we were talking, how much would you really know Bill Buckner, who played from 69 to 90? He would not, if it hadn't have been for that one play. I mean, Bill Buckner's name in baseball and the Red Sox and that World Series and maybe greatest blunders or chokes in sports, it's synonymous. But the Bill Buckner name is a household-type sports name because of that moment. Yeah. Now, maybe not for the reasons you want it to be, but Bill Buckner, you can't really tell the story of baseball without...
No.
And which, to me, defines what a Hall of Famer is. You can't really tell the story of baseball without Bill Buckner.
No. And for
because of that one play.
And for a casual baseball fan like I am, I mean, that's the only... And I'll just be honest. That's the only reason I know who Bill Buckner is.
Right.
Is because of that play.
Exactly. That was my
play.
Point yesterday is... That made that at one moment made him more famous than anything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate,
maybe
but it's true.
Infamous, but you know, yeah,
yeah. But it's amazing how and there's a lot of athletes that are just like that way. I mean, because like you know, Chris Webber. Why do people mainly will remember Chris Webber?
The timeout,
the timeout play. I mean, it's just there's these blunders that happen in sports. Well, people always remember.
We started talking about when golf came up. John Vandeveld. I don't. You may not remember that he was the guy that at Carnoustie in
yes.
90, had just the. Complete collapse and choke meltdown. I mean, just you think about that in the Buckner play, and you start putting some of these greatest moments in sports yeah. that were just you can't take your eyes off them kind of moments.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know. And even if you want to put it on a more local level, I mean Reggie Fish. We did What's Your Beef Wednesday last week. We had two people tweet in that Reggie Fish dropped the ball. That was their beef. Like and it's still
been
like,
13 years
yeah, and it still gets brought up. So I mean,
I watched those highlights last night. Now that you mention it, I watched the 2006 SEC championship.
Why?
Just cause.
Oh, well,
glutton for punishment.
I guess yeah. So. But you know, those are just the plays that and it gets remembered with particular players and individuals. I don't know. It's probably not right or anything, but it's just kind of the way it is. So, but you know, going back to. What Danny was bringing up with Jimmy Witt. I have his stats here. Now, this is what's crazy about Jimmy Witt. Since now he's back with the Razorbacks, in case you haven't heard, he's a grad transfer, will be immediately eligible. So
he was at Arkansas for his freshman year, left, went to SMU.
Had to sit out a year at SMU.
Now he's back at Arkansas.
Played 2 years, and yes, now he's back. So to give everybody an update on how his stats have looked this past season at SMU, he averaged 12.3 points a game, 6.4 rebounds, 4.0 assists, 4 assists, and had a field goal percentage of 49%. 3-point percentage was 14%. I don't know if that's... I don't think that's very good.
Say that again?
14. In fact,
Arkansas is going to have a 7-footer, 7'3" guy that shoots better than that.
In fact, he shot better in his first year at Arkansas as a freshman. He shot 37% from 3-point line as a freshman at Arkansas. He shot 14%. And here's another kind of a... iffy stat. He shot 80% from the free throw line his freshman year at Arkansas. He was really good from the free throw line. This past year, he shot 56%. So a guard that can't shoot the three and can't shoot free throws.
And that wasn't at the SEC level.
No, that was at SMU. That was at SMU. So and it's like, oh, maybe he just had a bad year. No, because in the previous year, he shot 59% from the free throw line. So if Musselman's bringing him in, I mean, I got to trust the guy. You know, obviously, he wants to bring in players that'll help him win immediately.
It's a one-year deal, right?
It's a one-year deal.
Grad transfer. He's got 1 year.
But as soon as he gets on campus, I hope Coach Musselman says, all right, Jimmy, free throws and three-pointers, that's your game. That's what you need to work on until the season starts.
Right before I left however long it's been, 10 days ago,
yeah,
whatever.
Like 3 weeks?
I was gone over a week. Y'all make it sound like I've been gone.
Well, with the holiday weekend and everything.
Feels that way, though.
Yeah.
I was at an event. Coach Musselman was speaking, and one of the questions that came up in the Q&A, it was at a banquet, and I emceed it, and he was the featured speaker. Someone asked him, Coach, what are you going to do about free throws? This team's been a horrible free throw shooting team. What do you do about making practice more? It was a good question. It's a solid question from someone in the audience. And without hesitation, Coach Musselman says, you recruit better free throw shooters. Yeah, there's a lot of, and it was a funny response, but there's a lot of validity in the answer. You recruit guys that can shoot free throws. It starts with that. You recruit better basketball players, and part of that is recruiting guys that come in as better free throw shooters. Arkansas struggles with shooting free throws. Well, you get guys that are better free throw shooters when they get on campus.
Seems simple enough.
Duh.
You get better players that do that at a better rate. Yeah. Amazing how that works out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
First off, it's great to be playing at Baum. Been on the road for 10, 11 days. I think the guys are excited about getting back and playing in front of their crowds and sleeping in their own beds. But, the field's good. It's always good, you know. You know, we don't know a whole lot about Central Connecticut, trying to find out about them as much as we can. And then you got Cal and TCU, who, you know, have always been good in baseball. And TCU's been to the World Series. I think they went on a roll a few years back, or they went 4 or 5 years in a row. So, it's going to be a great regional.
Obviously, them getting to play back in Fayetteville is always a big draw, but I mean, this draw that they have in the regional, though, I feel like is going to be okay for Arkansas, especially if someone like TCU got in on controversy where it's like people didn't even think they deserved to be in it, period.
I think with Aaron Fitt, I was looking at, thought, you know, they didn't have him in their first five out, much less them getting into the field. They had an RPI of 58, I believe it is, for TCU. So there's some people feeling like TCU didn't even belong in this field this year. So, you know, maybe you can look at that as a team that, maybe is a lesser of a three seed than compared to some of the other three seeds on the bracket.
Yeah, in fact, this was just a little background on TCU. They went 32-26, 11-13 in Big 12 play. So they had less than a 500 record. They were tied for sixth in the Big 12. And the reason that they jumped so high in the RPI was in the Big 12 tournament because they beat Oklahoma, Baylor, and Oklahoma State, which made him jump 16 spots in the RPI to 59.
So do we learn something this year, at least for this year, the committee valued conference tournament play? Because we saw Ole Miss and LSU take some jumps into the national seeding that surprised some folks. We see a team like TCU, who has a good run in the conference tournament, get into the field that probably otherwise would not have. We kind of slough off and say, oh, these conference tournaments, these conference baseball tournaments are a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's three examples right there. Ole Miss, LSU, that certainly benefited from their runs, and TCU that probably got in as a result of it.
Yeah, because even a team like Arkansas, they got the 5 overall seed. Georgia got the 4th overall seed. And this was something we discussed earlier on the show. Makes you wonder that if Arkansas would have beaten Georgia in the SEC tournament, would Arkansas have gotten that 4 seed instead of Georgia? Not that it really matters in the grand scheme of things, but it does make you wonder just how much does the NCAA and the committee value those conference tournaments? Because we kept saying pretty much all week and the week before and leading up to it that it's like, you know, you don't want to go 0-2 in it, but you don't want to go all the way unless you don't win it. Because even if you win it, it doesn't really mean anything because of the history between the SEC tournament champion and how they performed in postseason play once they got the regional, super regional, college world series. It doesn't happen very often where a team wins both. So that's kind of what we were going through it all. But maybe, just maybe, that the committee is trying to value that a lot more and kind of a what have you done for me lately? Because we know that in college basketball, they do that a lot. Not necessarily just the tournament play, but how do you play ending the season too?
But it seems like some years they do, some years they don't. You know, some years it seems to matter more than others. Every committee seems to value different pieces, different data points more than other data points. You know, RPI may matter more this year, and conference tournament play may matter more in the next year. So, or how you did on the road against top 40 RPI teams, or, you know, some number, some particular stat that they seem to value more.
Yeah.
So clearly it looks to me like in these couple of instances, you can say how you played in your conference tournament mattered.
Yeah. No, without a doubt.
And I think you could say Arkansas, if they had beaten Georgia, would be the 4 seed overall nationally and not the 5. I think you could make that case. Now, does it matter? Right now, I'd say no. Now, there could be a matchup down the road. I hadn't looked as far. Ty, have you looked at who would they match up with if Arkansas was successful?
Georgia.
They played Georgia, so it's not
probably going. Georgia. It's Georgia and LSU are the 2-1 seeds at the bottom of that bracket. So if one of them, you're assuming Georgia, but LSU tends to get hot in postseason play sometimes.
So
that's who they face in Omaha first.
So it could be an all SEC super regional and only, and getting there for Arkansas. I mean,
on early,
yeah. Well, and see, and that's what's crazy about it is because the amount of not only just, and this is just an SEC thing, because if you look at the seeding, like UCLA is the number one overall seed, they would take on the winner of the Oregon State Regional. So both Pac-12 teams. Same thing with Georgia would have to face LSU. Have it set up there. Georgia Tech would have to face North Carolina, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. It just, you know, the list goes down and down. Texas Tech versus Oklahoma State. It's just, you got to look, they want, let's just be honest, they want variety. They want as many conferences represented, as many teams from different conferences represented into the College World Series as they possibly can. So, you know, there's reason why they have the matchups that they do, especially when it comes to like Arkansas and how, because listen, the regional we feel good about, but what, how do we feel about the fact that Arkansas would have to play, assumingly so, Ole Miss? How do we feel that they'd have to play probably Georgia in the first game of the College World Series, if they made it that far?
You like the idea they're coming to Fayetteville. You like
sure.
knowing that.
Arkansas plays so much better in Fayetteville. That's true.
The road to Omaha goes through Fayetteville, so you like knowing that right now. But the Ole Miss was one of the only teams that came in here this year and, you know, stole your lunch money. So I don't think they could do it twice. That would be my take this morning without seeing anything in regional play. But, hey, we're putting the cart in front of the horse here. You got to win the regional before you can worry about playing Ole Miss in a super regional. And, you know, you got to worry about, I mean, Central Connecticut State, you ought to be able to, if you're hitting and pitching can't take care of them, you don't belong in a super regional, much less a College World Series. You got to knock out Cal or TCU at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole key to this thing, just like it will be the rest of the way, win your first two. If you can win at 1 o'clock on Friday, you can turn around and win Saturday night. Somebody's got to beat you twice. I don't like the odds for another team to come in and beat Arkansas on a Sunday night and then turn around and do it again on a Monday night. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't either. I don't either at all.
In a super regional, that's like a normal
another weekend
SEC,
series,
like a weekend series, best two out of three. So. Much more can play out in that setup. But, yeah, I really think Arkansas is a hard out with the pitching they have and the hitting they have for someone to beat them twice if Arkansas can win their first two.
Yeah. By the way, Central Connecticut State is 0-10 all-time in the NCAA tournament, and they have lost by an average score of 21-3.
And I saw where I think the largest crowd they'd played in front of this year was 600 people. And that's what's listed on the box scores. Who knows what it actually was? I wonder how and I don't know what the crowd will be. I mean, you presume, there'll be 13 or 14,000. I don't think so for a 1 o'clock Friday game.
No,
I bad. Think like 6 or 7,000. A, you got all these people that are dealing with flooded homes, and B, you got roads that are going to be hard to get. It'll be harder to get there depending on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the River Valley, you live in Sebastian County, it's going to be far more difficult to get to Northwest Arkansas this Friday. And perhaps the 59 bridge may or may not be open by then, depending on what the level of the water gets to. You'd have to go all the way to Clarksville and around to get to Fayetteville, or go to Salisaw over in Oklahoma and go around. One or the other. Perhaps. So that's going to affect a little bit of the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And also people have
and then
know, work.
Friday at 1 o'clock. And then are you going to, to see Central Connecticut? I don't think you'll have a big crowd there on Friday.
No.
I mean, you'll have 7,000 or 8,000, 9,000, whatever. They may announce more than that, but you're not going to have this.
Relatively speaking.
You're not going to have this raucous 12,000, 13,000 people hog pen full.
No.
crowd at 1 o'clock on Friday.
No, it's going to be a good crowd, not a great crowd, though. But, you know, that's actually something that people keep getting frustrated by. Dave Van Horn, every single time, he likes these early games. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the hosting team that gets to decide
correct
which game that they play as far as the time of it. And this is something that you just come to be expect of Dave Van Horn. He likes playing those 1 p.m. games and getting them out early. So I know it's frustrating to Razorback fans who want to come and watch the game that are not unable to because it's not the later game. But still, like you said, Tommy, I mean, if Arkansas has anything like this, I mean, it's just going to be domination. Yeah. I mean, 21-3 is the average score that Central Connecticut has lost in the NCAA tournament. So, but, you know, as far as their draw goes, though, obviously the Central Connecticut thing is we've discussed, but then playing the winner of the Cal or TCU. TCU got in on some controversy, but Cal actually had a really good record over in the Pac-12 land, 32-18 overall, 17-11, and they finished fourth behind UCLA, Stanford, and Oregon State, the three teams who are all national seeds in college baseball. So, I mean, Cal's probably, you would think, is going to be the winner of that TCU game, and then that's the team that Arkansas is going to have to take care of business against. I mean, do you see Arkansas clean sweeping this?
I mean, if Arkansas is hitting the baseball, that's the thing. The last couple of games, they have not hit the baseball well. I cannot believe Arkansas is not going to get back to, particularly in their home ballpark, hitting the ball. And if they're batting well, yeah, I think they could win three in a row and be done. But the way they've been hitting the last couple, the way they hit in Hoover, that'd be problematic.
Yeah. Well, you know that they're not going to face the quality of pitching that they face, I mean, but still.
Well, I'm saying every SEC team, and to some degree, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, to some degree, that's true for some of their better teams, are going to see a step down in competition. For every SEC team, the level of competition is going to be a little bit of XL, you know, compared to what you saw in Hoover in the last couple of weeks of SEC play. Just what you're facing, you know, particularly if you're a one seed in your regional, what is it, six teams, I think we said?
From the SEC.
Six teams are hosting, so six teams are one seeds. Yeah, I mean, it's an easier deal than what you've been doing the last few weeks.
Yeah, not to jinx anything or overlook anything, but
I'm just saying that's the reality.
Right. I mean, these are going to feel probably, as far as competition goes, more like midweek series games.
Well, I mean, it's a step above that, but not like Central Connecticut State will be, but when you get into the twos and threes, those teams, there's a reason they're twos and threes and not ones from the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the competition is still going to be good. I'm not saying
play down to your competition.
Yeah. But even, even Casey Martin said in the media yesterday that, hey, so there's been times we overlooked teams this year. I can't overlook anybody.
All six of these SEC teams won't survive to next weekend.
How many think you survive?
Six of those national seeds, because there's more than six that got in, obviously.
But right.
Of those six,
I have a hard time believing none of them. You think four of them? Okay. Yeah.
There'll be two eliminated.
Yeah.
It's just,
that's just baseball.
That's just baseball.
Yeah.
They're not all six going to win the region. That's probably the least likely.
Yeah.
Other than all six lose, you know.
But I would not be surprised if some of those SEC teams that are not host end up winning those regionals.
That will happen too.
Yeah. Because, the SEC is as strong as ever. I mean, there's Texas A&M, there's Florida, there's Tennessee, there's Auburn. There's some good teams there. So it's not like
is there 10 total teams?
10 total teams. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad from the SEC.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
So I hope everybody had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, by the way. I know that we certainly did here on the Morning Rush. Tommy had a kind of like a Memorial Day week, essentially, as he was down in vacation there at the Turks. And hanging out there. And Tommy, I want you to know, you'll be proud of me for this real quick. That yesterday, because we've said that on Memorial Day weekend or Memorial Day, it's like you need to be next to a body of water and next to an open flame. Is that correct? I was next to a body of water and I was next to an open flame. I grilled out yesterday on Memorial Day.
What'd you cook?
Okay, now this is where
I don't remember my invite coming in.
Well, I didn't get my invite to the Turks, so we're all even there.
Yeah,
it's just completely the same.
Yeah, my wife would have loved that for our 15th anniversary trip. Now bringing you along,
of course. I had to go a little healthy.
Had to,
yeah, had to do that for the old gal, and so
I'm sure she feels the affection of calling her the old gal.
However, there I had some shrimp skewers.
Mm-hmm.
With some veggies there.
Yeah, got to be careful not to overcook them.
That's right.
They'll become rubbery.
It was.
Got to get the vegetables done first, and then add the shrimp.
That's right. It was okay. It wasn't for my first attempt of skewers. It was okay, not great.
Right.
But I also we had some chicken.
Okay.
But for me, I had me some jalapeno cheddar brats, and I
there
was
you go.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. So, but I just wanted to let you know that I had actually stood next to an open fire. And grilled something on Memorial Day weekend.
Proud of you.
I had to come with it.
I tell you, I felt like I feel this way sometimes when I get out of town for a week. You know, guilty that I'm gone and this and that. And I felt really bad this time because the day I leave, a tornado comes through town.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was an EF1 and, you know, didn't tore up some trees and people's homes were in bad shape. But then now this historic flooding's, you know, come through, and we got three of the four bridges coming into the River Valley shut down. Garrison Avenue, Midland, 540, all down. 59, which is about 2 miles from where we're sitting right now. Traffic is a horrendous mess if you're in the River Valley this morning. Because if you're coming into town from Crawford County or anywhere north, if you're coming from the River Valley into town, you got to come across the Barling Bridge at Lock and Dam 13. It's bumper to bumper the whole way. And then the only way into town, and then you got to go either the new, whatever they call this out here, that goes from Barling out to Jenny Lind, or you take Zero Street right in front of the radio station here. And there's already been like two wrecks out here where people aren't paying attention. It's bumper to bumper, people rear-ending each other. Got to call them in to go. You know, 22 down at Central City shut down. So if you're in Charleston or Lavaca or anywhere east on 22 and you need to get into town, you got to go through Greenwood, go 96 down to Greenwood, and then Highway 10 out to 71. Well, no, they said there's no one directing traffic, and it's just a
sounds like a mess,
bumper to bumper mess. So I mean, every thoroughfare, because you've basically taken all the traffic off of 540 and put it on about two roads. It's just gonna be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. This isn't like a 1 or 2 day deal.
It's going to be all week.
It'll be this way till they can open these bridges back up.
Which at best case would be what, Friday?
Oh, I don't think so. I think like that? Monday.
All right, Monday. So a full week. Over a week.
Well, right at it. They closed them down late last night after 10 o'clock. But
grief.
Apparently, the bridges, there isn't a problem with the bridges. They got a new update from RDOT this morning. You know, people are concerned, is there a problem with the structural integrity of the bridges themselves? Is that why they're shut down? No. They're shut down because, just like the Garrison Bridge is shut down, because the road, the approach in Oklahoma on 64 is covered in water.
It's not the bridge itself. It's not the bridge.
It's the road leading up to the bridge is covered in water. And so 540 between Kelly Highway. Now, 540 isn't completely shut down. It's just the river bridge is shut down. So between Kelly Highway and the bridge is down because the road's covered.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they could do. They could just sandbag the side of the road. I don't know what you could do and then pump the water. I don't know. I don't know how bad it is or how bad it's going to get.
Yeah. Never had to deal with anything like this before.
But it is creating one hell of a mess with traffic this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and it's not going to get any better as the day goes on.
No, so be careful out there, folks.
And then you got, thank goodness school's out in the River Valley or Fort Smith has called it a year, it seems like.
Could you imagine?
So if you had school traffic on top of that,
this would be awful. Even worse.
East end of Rogers is shut down. So it's just a mess. And then those are just the inconveniences.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just the things where if you're sitting in traffic right now, you're inconvenienced. There's a lot of our friends and neighbors whose houses have inches or feet of water in them, or their business has feet of water in them. Those are the people with real problems. Those are the people that really have a disaster. The rest of us are just inconvenienced at this point.
Have they said how many homes have been impacted?
Oh, they're talking like 1,000 in Fort Smith. But listen, this isn't just isolated to the River Valley. This isn't a Fort Smith-Van Buren issue. This is any town along the Arkansas River. So, you know, go all the way down, you know, in south of Clarksville in that area. Keep going. Dardanelle and Russellville. Keep going to Morrilton. I mean, Little Rock. just Pine Bluff, all the way to the Delta. This flooding is going to impact the homes along the river all the way in Arkansas. We've seen the disaster in Oklahoma, and that's where all this started, was all the heavy rains in Kansas and Oklahoma that is sending this water towards the Arkansas River and through here, and it hasn't even crested yet. It's going to be tomorrow, it appears, now before the crest of the river, and it's going to hold for like 4 days. So we haven't seen the worst yet, and it's already bad.
It's incredible. And I mean, you've seen it on that. I mean, it's making national news. I mean, this is a thing that everybody is covering.
CBS and Fox had their national shows from Lock and Dam 13. Our man Officer Breeden was on the national news. I've been on the local news. I checked. He's not on duty this morning.
No. Well, in fact,
he didn't clear it with us whether he should be on duty with the morning rush in here, giving us updates.
Yeah, he certainly should. I can't believe he's not doing that. But, you know, you mentioned him being on CBS News. We actually have the audio clip from him discussing the flooding.
This was the levees, but this was also at the same time where they were air evacuating the guys, the Corps of Engineers staff, out of the Lock and Dam building by helicopter.
Yeah, so Officer Breeden with his national television debut.
Barling Police Officer James Breeden told us he's never seen the water this high.
There's a great deal of concern about the levees holding up.
There is a concern about the integrity of the levels. They've never been tested to this limit before.
What are we talking about, the potential impact of one of those levees not holding?
The potential impact is literally tens of thousands of people would be without a place to live. It would wipe out that many homes.
Yeah, so there you have it. Officer Breeden on CBS News giving the update there.
Particularly for Crawford County residents in Van, the levee runs now on the side in Barling, from the Barling Bridge over, there'd be a lot of cropland, depending on where if there was a problem with the levee. But then you get into Van Buren, and he's right. If that levee breached at the wrong place, it could be a situation like what we saw with Katrina in New Orleans all over again, right here in our backyard. Mm. So this is a dangerous, serious situation. I mean, and we're, like we said, homes and stuff along tributaries to the river, drainage to the river, and then homes right along the river already seeing the water creep up inside them.
So, yeah, just be safe with it, man.
I mean, just think about things. Three of the four bridges coming into town are shut down. Think if you need medical care. Or I was reading someone on Facebook. They're due to have a baby this week, and they're supposed to deliver at Mercy or Baptist Health, and they can't get across the bridge. I mean, just... Oh.
What was it you brought up yesterday when I was talking to you, just talking about food and deliveries and stuff, trying to get into the city?
Our buddy Scott over at Calico County, he was talking to food suppliers. The only way to get food, like food delivery trucks in to restock restaurants and perhaps grocery stores or whatever, is going to be Highway 10 through Greenwood. Well, 10's already a snarled mess. We've been getting texts all morning about how bad the traffic is for people trying to get into town using Highway 10 right now. I mean, it's just, it's not going to be any fun, but listen, it's going to be a frustrating inconvenience for several days. It's not going to end anytime in the near future. But if your home has not got inches or feet of water in it, just count yourself as lucky.
Yeah.
All right. Because the traffic we can deal with. You'll get there. You may be late, but you'll get there. Everybody's going to have to be understanding right now. Be a little more patient. And I... Patience and me don't go well.
Yeah, good luck doing that.
I'm not very good at patience, but just going to have to get some.
Yeah.
Because, your choices right now are like Highway 10. You can go all the way down to Clarksville and cross at Morrison Bluff, go to Salisaw, cross over, go to Spiro and Salisaw. I mean, you just don't have a lot of options right now road-wise.
Nope.
We take a lot of things for granted, don't we?
Yeah, especially when it comes to the roadways. I mean, those are things you always feel like are going to be available to you. So they're gone.
Hey, real quick. Hadn't it been great to see the outpouring of people helping people? People that are just helping strangers. Whether it's unloading their house or filling sandbags or donating food to volunteers or whatever it is. I mean, it's just been great to see the outpouring of just love thy neighbor. And we'll just see it all across our state. I mean, you know, people want to paint a picture that we don't get along anymore as a country. We're divided as a nation. And then you see catastrophes, you see disasters, you see things that challenge us, and we always seem to come together. I just think it's, you know, through all these things that are catastrophic in a lot of ways, we find the good in each other.
Yeah.
It's been really, really awesome to see that part of this.
It's a silver lining in this disaster that's going through. So it's always good to see the best of mankind coming out, especially when it comes to this state of Arkansas and everybody helping out each other as well.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.